Hey, KDK listeners, I want to thank everyone for tuning in to A Weight Off Your Shoulders. In my studio right now is Dr. Greg Feinzinger, noted vegan doctor. He's now retired from his practice, but still sees people on for special occasions, which probably means that those special occasions mean you probably need to be paying attention to your health and wellness. Doctor, thank you for coming in. And how are you doing this this afternoon?
Well.
All right, cool. Yeah. And so I just want to go over some stuff with you.
Okay.
And, you know, ever so, you know, so briefly, because we just have like half an hour.
Right.
But I want to ask you, what got you specifically into becoming a vegan? Because many doctors, you know, aren't doing that. And, you know, 1960s, I'm sure you were around. I don't know if Marcus Welby smoked cigarettes on his television
right.
show. But doctors used to do things that are clearly not healthy. What's going on
here? Well, they still do a lot of things that are unhealthy, I'm sorry to say. But like most doctors, I learned nothing in medical school about nutrition. But I was a family physician at Glenwood Medical Associates for 42 years and just retired 2.5 years ago. And I was into prevention as a family doctor because we see people cradle to grave, so to speak. And after a couple of years of practice, you start seeing people in middle age and older who have a lot of preventable diseases. And you start thinking, well, gosh, maybe we ought to start preventing more of these things. But to answer your question, So I found out about 15 years ago that almost all heart attacks can be prevented. Unfortunately, it's not happening. I think it's a case of follow the money and follow the vested interests. But I started heart attack and stroke and diabetes prevention center at Glenwood Medical 15 years ago. And I knew nothing about nutrition until about 5 years ago. And a nurse practitioner suggested to my wife and me that we read a book called The China Study, which is about the biggest epidemiologic study that's ever been done. That means a study on large groups of people, see what diseases they get, what they die from, and what they eat. And we thought the information in that book was so compelling that we immediately went plant-based. And lucky for me, my wife's a good cook.
And that does matter.
And this diet did amazing things for us. I lost 12 pounds in a month. I didn't think I was overweight, but in retrospect, I was, because before I lost that 12 pounds, I had to take something for high blood pressure and for prediabetes, plus the statin drug for years and that kind of thing. But in a month, those two conditions, prediabetes and my blood pressure went away, and I was off those medications and cut way back on my statin drugs. And then I started telling my patients about it, and the ones who did it, and there were quite a few of them, had amazing results, much better than any pills or combination of pills that I had given them over 42 years.
That's fantastic. You mentioned statin drugs, which to me I see is a pharmaceutical offering that I guess in a sense it enables people to have really crappy diets and crappy habits and addresses their cholesterol, but may not really address some of the what I would call wellness and health, and one of the things that it appears to show up pretty frequently is the damage to the mitochondria and the interference with the, I guess, the assimilation of ubiquinol or CoQ10 going into the mitochondria, which are organelles inside of a cell.
Yeah, first of all, I'm not a doctor basher. I think doctors go into medicine for the right reasons, although lots of times within a couple of years you get caught up in the business of medicine and so forth. But as far as pharmaceuticals go, I think there is a place for them at times. And, for example, there are people that have what we call familial hyperlipidemia with cholesterols in the 600s, that kind of thing. And, they're not going to get their cholesterol down to a safe level without something like a statin drug. Statin drugs have been out for over 25 years. I don't think they're all bad. I still take one myself, but a much lower dose of a much weaker statin than I used to take before I went plant-based. But I think we all have to realize that statin drugs lower your risk for having a heart attack or stroke by 30% at best, whereas a total plant-based whole foods, meaning unprocessed, no added oil diet with avoidance of salt and sugar lowers your risk at least 90%, and most studies show 98%. So
that's,
so they're
that's
three
a phenomenal
times more
effect. My God, that's phenomenal.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's without the side effects or the expense. You know, most people tolerate statin drugs just fine. The way statin drugs work is they prevent your liver from making so much LDL, bad cholesterol. But there are people that have muscle aching, certainly, and those people do a lot better if they take CoQ10 and vitamin D with their statin drug. And there are a few people that just simply don't tolerate statin drugs because of muscle problems.
Okay. And so those people could get something something similar to rhabdomyolysis. Would that be the case?
Rhabdomyolysis, yeah. So that's where you have breakdown of muscle tissue, and that's a big deal. That's very serious.
Because then the kidneys get overwhelmed, I guess that's the case.
Yes, but that's extremely rare, but it does happen. It happens without statin drugs, but it's slightly more apt to happen if you're on a statin drug.
Okay. Well, that was a little sidetrack there. Sorry about that, but
that's all right.
Yeah, that's something that I hear. You know, a lot of my, I won't say a lot, but you know, some of my clients have mentioned that they're taking statin drugs, and they're just wondering if there's a way out of them doing that so they can mitigate some of those other problems that are associated with them. And I'm not, you know, I don't want to bash everything just to bash it just because it comes from the pharmacy or it comes from a doctor or it comes from this or that or something.
Right.
If it's utilitarian, then that's kind of like the direction I want to go in, because I think that a lot of doctors like yourself and other doctors are probably like Dr. Gregor are probably on board with the idea of like, what is the utility of what we're doing with our patients.
Right. So, you know, lifestyle modification is certainly an option for people, but there are people who need to do both. My mentor in heart attack prevention is a physician named Brad Bale, B-A-L-E, who with his nurse practitioner wrote a book called Beat the Heart Attack Gene. And they feel that anybody who's got any plaque in their arteries, atherosclerosis or heart in the arteries, needs to be on a statin drug, because anybody with any plaque is at risk for a heart attack or stroke. And heart attacks are what most people die from in this country.
I was going to ask you, so when you mention those plaques, the reason why, I guess, is it because plaques can form anywhere, including the so-called coronary arteries and carotid arteries and you know, that situation, or?
Yeah, so, you know, there's something called the endothelium that lines our arteries, and that's actually an organ system, just like our brain, liver, kidneys, and so forth. It's very delicate, but obviously very important. It lines all of our arteries, including the coronary arteries. So if it gets stressed by bad habits such as smoking or lack of exercise, for example, or bad genes, like everybody in your family dies in their 50s of heart attacks, or things like high cholesterol, high blood pressure, and so forth, the first thing that happens is that endothelial lining starts to thicken, and then eventually plaque forms in the wall of the artery. And then if the plaque ruptures, then a blood clot forms where that rupture occurs, and that blocks the blood flow. So that's a heart attack, or if it happens in the brain, it's a brain attack or a stroke.
Okay. Now, when you mentioned how some people have very high cholesterol levels, like hypercholesterolemia or hyperlipidemia, I think things
right.
The term
the
you
familial
use.
Familial hyperlipidemia, yeah.
And so that would be like the Mormon study that was done on Mormon lineages on, 20, 30, 50 years ago or something, where they examined a lot of people who, you know, I mean, they grew up and there seemed to be no problem with their families back in the 1880s. And then starting somewhere, I guess, around 1930 or people born in like 1930, they started having some very serious problems. And people like Jim Fix, the runner, had that same illness, if I'm not mistaken.
So I'm not familiar with that particular study that you're talking about, but it's this familial hyperlipidemia where people just have sky high cholesterols. It seems to run in families, and if you go on the internet, there's some things on the internet that kind of say, well, cholesterol is really not that important. And it is true that half of people who have heart attacks have normal cholesterol based on what we call normal. That's kind of another story or another issue. But people with very high cholesterol clearly are at risk for having a heart attack or a stroke.
Okay. And so what, I mean, I kind of want to take, I got a very curious mind. I know the audience is probably very curious too. Do you see any negative effects with people overusing calcium supplements, for instance, because calcium obviously participates in those plaques to some degree? And what can be done about that to mitigate that or prevent it?
People usually take calcium supplements because they have thinning of the bones or osteoporosis or pre-osteoporosis, which is osteopenia. But as it turns out, osteoporosis and osteopenia are really diseases of a Western diet. So people on a total plant-based diet since the day they were born, they don't seem to get osteoporosis. So they don't need calcium supplements. And really, we should be getting our calcium through vegetables. It's the best way to get calcium through leafy green vegetables and legumes, which are beans, lentils, and chickpeas, rather than through supplements. Because, you know, we didn't evolve to be taking supplements of any kind.
Right. Right. I don't think our caveman ancestors were open up the bottle. Hey, let's try this. This will help.
Yeah, I don't think so.
And then what do you think of vitamin K? How do you think you see that interplaying and working, you know, with the... I mean, I know you get vitamin K out of a lot of leafy green vegetables, but you have the K1 and the
K2.
And then there's the laboratory creation of K3, I think it is. Stay away from that one.
Okay, well, so there are some caveats if you go on a total plant-based diet. So one is that you need a B12 supplement, and you need to take 1,000 micrograms every day. So people often say, well, if this is such a natural diet, why do I have to take a B12 supplement? And the reason is that B12 is made from by bacteria and dirt, and we don't eat enough dirt anymore. You know, in other words, our water's treated, our produce is pre-washed, so we don't get much dirt. So therefore, if you're totally plant-based, you need to be taking B12 now. You know, if you're eating meat, the cow eats grass and they get some ingest some dirt that way, and the B12 is absorbed in their fat and their muscle. So you eat the cow and then you get B12. But that's why plant-based people need to take B12. And most people need to take a D supplement. We evolved running around equatorial Africa along millions of years ago, basically naked, and now we don't do that much anymore. So, we don't get enough vitamin D. So our D levels tend to be low. And then you need to get omega-3 somehow, because if you're not going to be eating fish if you're totally plant-based, and there are lots of reasons not to eat fish. But in any case, you need to get omega-3. So you get that by eating 2 tablespoons. Of ground flax seed a day.
Now, do you need to grind that, or can you just eat the flax seeds straight up?
No, if you eat them straight up, they just go right through you.
Okay.
And so you need to grind them.
Okay.
Yeah, and you can buy it already ground, or you can use a coffee grinder, people tell me to grind it.
That's actually how I use it. I grind up my flax seeds in a coffee grinder.
And then you need to eat a handful of healthy nuts. So the healthiest nuts are walnuts, and second would be almonds and pecans, and even peanuts, which technically aren't a nut, but nutritionally speaking, they're like nuts. So a handful every day. So the deal is that, you know, all nuts have good fats and bad fats, and walnuts have the best ratio of the good to the bad.
Okay.
And your body has to convert those things, the flax and the nuts, to omega-3. So some people might not convert enough, and, for genetic reasons. And so people like Dr. Greger think that To be on the safe side, you should also take a 250 milligram capsule of vegan algae-derived omega-3, which you can get at Vitamin Cottage, or you can get the liquid form on Dr. Furman's website.
Okay.
Now, you mentioned a couple of other things like vitamin K2, and I can tell you that Dr. Furman also recommends K2. He's the only giant in the plant-based nutrition field that does recommend that, but it probably doesn't hurt, and he also recommends a little bit of iodine every day.
Okay. So you get the iodine from things like seaweed and things of that sort?
Or you can get it through seaweed, sure.
Okay.
But if you're not going to be eating salt, which we all should avoid,
right?
Because it eventually causes high blood pressure and also directly damages that endothelium that I was talking about.
Now, it's that high pressure in the your vascular system that damages the epithelial cells that line the interior of all blood vessels.
Well, there are two things that salt does. One is that eventually it causes hypertension. So 90% of Americans eventually get high blood pressure, which really means a blood pressure greater than 120 over 80. But the other thing that salt does, even in younger people, is that it directly damages that endothelium.
Is it like a caustic type of thing, or is it a electrolyte issue, like, you know, where you have just that it's just so saline, or I don't know.
You know, I actually don't know exactly how it happens, but I just know that it happens.
Okay, so it's an observed effect without a known causation.
Yeah.
Okay. And I think that I wrote a couple other things down here, but I see you have the handout that you're giving, and I just need to check that one thing there. I did want to ask you about coconut oil, because that is a very popular thing and it's being heavily marketed. And I've been someone who was started using coconut oil, and I've been reviewing some studies from NIH on the actual efficacy of that, or as deleterious effects, or what it does or does not do. And in the past, I have to say, I was pretty convinced by a lot of the stuff that was coming out based on these population studies from people who use coconut oil in their natural, un-Western diet corrupted lifestyle. I don't know if that's a mouthful there, but.
Well, you know, if we're talking about the Polynesians, and let me just first say that Dr. Greger wrote this book. You mentioned his name, and he spoke here in Carbondale in February, but he wrote a great book called How Not to Die. And the first half is about how not to die from different conditions. The second half is what we should be eating every day and why. But he has this wonderful website called nutritionfacts.org, which you can subscribe to like I do. And you can also search things like coconut oil. And he just did a series of a few daily videos and so forth about coconut. And you know, coconut is not a health food. So in these Polynesian islands, first of all, the people don't seem to live long enough to get atherosclerosis, a lot of them, partly because they've switched to an American diet, the SAD, Standard American Diet.
So sad, literally.
And there haven't really been good studies showing, that followed them for 20 years to prove that they don't get atherosclerosis. And they're also eating usually the raw coconut, which has some fiber in it and some other things. So, we talked about this diet as being plant-based whole foods, meaning unprocessed. So any kind of oil, I don't care if it's olive oil or coconut oil, is processed.
So it's refined.
It's refined, and you lose most of the nutrients with anything that's processed. Another thing is that any kind of oil has 120 calories per tablespoon, and so many Americans need to lose weight, so they don't want those concentrated calories. Another thing is that all oils have saturated fat, and saturated fat makes your liver make more LDL, bad cholesterol. And coconut oil has the most. The least amount is in canola oil, which is 7%. Olive oil has 15%. Coconut oil has 93% saturated fat. So it's very unhealthy. So, yeah, there's a lot of hype on the internet, but it's put on there by people making money selling coconut products. So, okay. You know, it's all about the money. I don't care if we're talking about pharmaceuticals or supplements or whatever. You know, in our society, it's all about the money.
So if someone had, just throwing some crazy thing out there, someone had some unrefined virgin canola oil, would that be helpful in, you know, say, small amounts? If someone had, say, a teaspoon per day or something, would that, what do you think something like that would do to most people's cholesterol? And
but to make the oil, you have to refine the product.
Okay, I got you. All right.
Yeah.
All right. So cold pressed or something?
Yeah. So you can have a couple of olives on your salad. You know, that's the original product. But if you make olive oil out of it, you know, you squeeze the oil out of the olives and you lose most of this good stuff.
Okay.
I don't care if it's coconut or whatever.
So refined oil's bad. Stick with the
any kind of oil. Any kind of oil's bad.
So eat the avocado. Don't get the avocado oil.
But even avocado, you should go easy on the amount of avocado because it's got some saturated fat in that too. And the calories that you get with any kind of oil. You know, avocado is a pretty oily kind of a vegetable.
Yeah. I have to confess, I love my avocados.
Oh, yes.
I
shoot the messenger, though.
No, I know. But, all right, so we're looking at some of the things you're saying don't eat. We have about 3 minutes left here, actually about two and a half. Don't eat meat, including chicken. So basically nothing that was a living being of any sort.
Yeah. You don't eat it if it's got a face, a mother, or if it poops.
Okay. All right. And then anything that came from something like that, which would include dairy, cheese, and yogurt.
Right.
And eggs.
Right.
Okay.
But before we finish up, I want to emphasize that what you do eat is even more important than what you don't eat.
Okay.
Because plants have so many benefits that animals don't have, like fiber, like cancer-killing properties, what we call phytonutrients, antioxidants. Oxidation is like rusting a metal, or if you cut an apple in half and leave it out, it turns brown. It's oxidation in our bodies. Oxidation contributes to heart disease, to diabetes, and to cancer, and to aging, all things we don't want to get.
All right, and super briefly, what do you think about the idea that vegans can be, really physically very, very strong if they train for that? Because, you know, a lot of people don't believe that someone can, you know, be a super strong vegan, you know, athlete.
Well, I think you're sitting right in front of me, and you're a good example of how you can be vegan and be very strong. At least you look very strong.
Well, from my age group, yes.
I'm not going to arm wrestle you.
No, I'm not going to brag on that.
But yes, there are lots of endurance athletes, certainly, that are plant-based, but there are also some NFL players, not a lot of them, but a few, and some NBA players and so forth, some weightlifters, some bodybuilders even.
Okay.
And then look at horses and gorillas and elephants. You know, they're plant-based, big, strong animals.
And they don't probably get too much osteoporosis either, I suspect.
I doubt it. They also get a lot of weight-bearing exercise.
I'm sure they do. Oh, my gosh. Now I'm going to have you back on here at some point in time. I hope you're open to that. And
absolutely.
Because I want people to you know, I mean, I use the word vegan because I just don't want to sugarcoat it to people and pretend that it's something other than it isn't, because there's obviously there's other things, you know, health is critical. That's maybe the gateway to that. But then we have the environment and we have, the ethical situation.
Right.
People eating animals that have been tortured and are getting a lot of adrenaline or epinephrine in their every bite they take.
All right.
And, well, we're going to be done here and shortly. How do we reach you?
379-5718. And I welcome phone calls. I'm retired. Or G. Feinsinger. So it's G F as in Frank, E I N S I N G E R at Comcast.net. I do free consultations on Monday mornings, and so you can certainly call me about those.
All right. I thank you so much. And continue with our regular programming.